One of the four distinctive marks of the church is that it is Catholic. Catholic meaning universal. And so the church embraces all peoples. This also is the principle of the church's unity. So the very same church, the same one church, embraces all peoples, brings them all together in one faith, worshiping the one God. Now, this characteristic of the universality of the church was not immediately evident to the very first disciples, namely those who were immediately received into the church at that first Pentecost and immediately thereafter. For at first, the apostles preached to the Jews, and it was only sometime afterward, as is recounted in the Acts of the Apostles, that these very same apostles realized that the Holy Spirit was guiding them to do just what Jesus had already commanded them to do, which is to go out into all the world and proclaim the good news, not just among the Jews, but to everyone. And the heralds, the first heralds of the gospel to the Gentiles, were precisely Saints Peter and Paul and those who were working in concert with them. So Saints Peter and Paul will always stand as those two pillars whereby the church, already willed to be universal by our Lord, came to be precisely that in reality. The reading chosen for today's liturgy illustrate, on the one hand, the tremendous effort that was exerted by the apostles. Jesus was clearly not telling them to do something that was very easy. If he told, even today, he told you or me to go out throughout the whole world without giving any particular qualifications, what would we possibly think? It's a little bit easier, of course. The means of travel permit us to go very easily to different parts of the globe. But it's still no easy thing, particularly when we think of how much of the world not only is not Catholic, but is opposed to the practice of the one true religion. So that I can go into certain countries and find my life at risk if I try to openly practice my faith. There are some parts of the world that if I were to go with my religious habit on, I would immediately be suspect or worse, perhaps arrested. And we cannot imagine that when we reflect back 20 centuries ago on what Jesus was telling the apostles to do, although at first the opposition did not show itself against the Catholic Church, it certainly did very soon thereafter. And then it was very dangerous to follow our Lord's command. But our Lord commanded what he commanded, and the apostles followed him in spite of the fact that they faced many very significant dangers. And this is what the readings recount to us today. So in the first reading, we heard how Peter was arrested, and he was about to be put to death. And it was only by the miraculous rescue of the angel that his life was spared on that occasion when King Herod wished to put him to death. But Peter was not thereby afraid. He was not afraid to put his life at risk because he knew that this is the one thing that counted. If I put my life at risk, there's a purpose for it. There are perhaps many things in this world for which people might be willing to put their lives at risk, but there's only one lasting thing that is for which it is really worth the risk, and that is precisely life everlasting, which is promised by the Lord of our faith. St. Paul, particularly in his second letter to the Corinthians, recounts all the dangers that he had to face in spreading the good news. If he were doing it for any other reason, one would ask, why did he go through all the trouble? Why did he bother to receive so many beatings by the Jews? Why did he bother to put his life at risk by threatened by wild beasts who threatened him, by natural calamities and the like, by shipwreck, etc.? Why did he do all these things? Because he knew the one whose gospel he was proclaiming, and he loved him, and he wished to lay down his life for him. And so it was this motivation whereby he could proclaim very boldly that he is being poured out like a libation. He has completed well. He has finished the race. And the money quote, he has kept the faith. He wished to spread the faith, and he kept the faith. And that's what St. Peter could say as well. These two kept the faith that was given to them by our Lord, and they were willing to use any means, legitimate means, to spread that faith. Peter didn't count on an angel rescuing him from the difficulty that he was in, but he kept the faith. He was faithful to the Lord. And this is the secret whereby our Lord will come to the rescue of those who find themselves in very dire straits. When they're willing to keep the faith that is given them by the Lord, when they're willing to exert any energy in order to make sure that others receive and keep that same faith, then our Lord, though he is not obliged to, for our sake, he will come to the rescue, so to speak, for the sake of his body, the church. Think of a more recent example of someone who expended his energy for love of God and love of the church. And I think of the one who was just recently proclaimed as Saint, Pope John Paul II. How many miles did he travel in order to proclaim the faith? Could he not say, could he not echo the words of Saint Paul here? I am being poured out like a libation. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Imagine that he could say these words in his very last days. And what could we say about ourselves in this regard? This is the faith that so many risk their lives in order that we could have this as a treasure. And all we have to do is be faithful. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's true. It's a question of keeping the faith, keeping what it is that has been poured out for us, keeping what has been so hard won for us by so many. It is a gift from God, but it is a gift that God wished to give us only through the efforts of so many who braved so many dangers precisely for us, for the love of Jesus, so that we could have that faith. So that we can go and do the same, however. And how can we be sure that we can compete well, that we can finish the race, that we can keep the faith? Because that faith is guaranteed by the rock that our Lord established. Our Lord chose Peter and his successors. He founded our faith on a rock which will never be taken away. And as we examine the 2,000-year history of the church and the very grave threats that have always been posed to the church, then we can see that our Lord really does keep his promises. That rock that our Lord established really will never be taken away. If it hasn't been taken away, in spite of what has happened over 2,000 years, then it certainly will not be now. It doesn't mean that many people's faith will grow cold, or that the faith in this or that region may be put under dire threat, or that certain lands that have historically been Christian may wind up being otherwise. For a historical example of that, all we have to do is look at North Africa in the early centuries of Christianity, how it was swept away by the Muslims in the first millennium. These kinds of things can happen again. But there are always those who will be raised up by God to compete well, to finish the race, to be poured out like a libation, to keep the faith so that others may have that faith. And that will always be there because of the rock that is Peter. And so if we wish ourselves to compete well, to finish the race, then we can do no better than basing ourselves on that rock. We said that the church is universal and has embraced all peoples. Our Lord wills that all peoples of all times and all places be drawn to Him. That's why He came into the world. That's why He laid down His life for us. There's not a soul in this world, not just now, but in all times, that did not cost our Lord dearly, that our Lord does not love very, very dearly. And He exhorts us to be poured out like a libation for Him, to compete well, to finish the race. You and I are not Saints Peter and Paul, but we share in the mission of the successors of the apostles. All Christians do. When you and I were baptized, we became missionaries, whether we realized it or not. We're called to be missionaries, not just a select elite few, but all Catholics who are baptized, including the ones that don't regularly go to church. All baptized are called to be missionaries. And for this we will give an accounting on the last day. What did we do to be poured out like a libation, to compete well, to keep the faith? We will be judged on these things. And if we had the opportunity to expend energy for our Lord, we will be called to answer for why we might not have done so, if that's what our Lord wanted us to do. See, we share in the mission of the first apostles, and particularly in this day and age, the Holy Spirit working in the church is reminding particularly the laity of this responsibility of theirs. The laity have a very important role to play. It's not just simply left up to the bishops and the priests. It's everyone's responsibility. The bishops have to do their part and the priests theirs. This is very clear. But everyone has got to do their part and not wait for the next person. This is the missionary thrust that the Lord has, that the church has always had by its very nature. And if we do our part, our Lord will do His. He's not obliged to send angels to rescue us from dire situations that we might get ourselves into, but for the sake of the church, for the sake of souls, He might do so. The question in our regard is not whether our Lord will actually do these things, work these miracles, evident miracles perhaps in our regard, although He could. The more to the point is whether or not we will keep the treasure of faith that He has given us, and will we work to spread it to others. That's what fueled all the travels of Pope John Paul II. And it ought to fuel us to do the same, not necessarily exactly to do what he did insofar as going to country after country, maybe, maybe not, but work actively to spend ourselves for the Lord, not just occasionally, now and then, here and there, but all times and all places. Saints Peter and Paul never relaxed their missionary effort, driven on by love of the Lord and faithfulness. If we turn to them, then we can receive the same gift too. And particularly if we turn to the mother of Jesus, who was with the first apostles at the very beginning, who helped them to understand the universality of Christ's call, whose faith itself undergirds the very faith of the apostles. If we turn to her, she will give us that energy, that strength, to carry out what our Lord is asking of us, and he is asking a lot of us, regardless of whatever talents he's given us. And as we have only one life to carry this out, and we have wasted so much time up to now, in the remaining time, perhaps we can work like St. Paul to be poured out like a libation for love of our Lord, for the one thing that really counts, to sink our energies into the salvation of souls. Gain souls for Jesus through Mary, so that we will be able to say at the end of our lives, I have competed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Praise be Jesus and Mary.